Jenna, thank you very, very much. Well, welcome. Thank you all for coming out on this beautiful day. It is so great to see that sun after a couple of rather soggy weeks. The sun is welcome. Our theme for the month of August has been nature, beauty, art, and aesthetics. And as I sat with that theme for this week, what really came into my consciousness, my awareness, is how fortunate we are to live in this magnificent state. I mean, it is so beautiful, but we are so blessed with so many resources. And it's not just our natural resources. I mean, the gas and oil and gold and silver and copper, all of those kinds of things. But we're also blessed with the beauty of Alaska, and we're blessed with a consciousness here that I think is rare on this planet. We are truly, truly blessed. One of the things that popped into my brain as I did it, I thought I ought to read the Global Heart Vision. And as a national organization, one of the things that they did a few years ago was to develop this thing that they call the Global Heart Vision. And it's the vision that we hold for our world as we see it. We have our vision here of being an inclusive community that, you know, welcomes everybody. The Global Heart Vision is a lot bigger, but one of the items in it says, we envision a world in which resources are valued, cared for, and grown, and where there is a generous and continuous sharing of these resources. Continuous sharing of these resources. Well, the title of my talk today is Resource Development. And I'm going to go back to the sacred reading. Linda hit it. There was a line in there that I really resonated. To each is given what he needs, and the gifts of heaven come alike to all. How we shall use these gifts is all that matters. And what that means is that we distribute those gifts. We are generous with what we have. Look at Jenna. I mean, we are so fortunate to have someone who has been given a magnificent gift in her beautiful voice and has taken the time to develop that and work on it and make it even better. And she gives that to us every week. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So as I'm stumbling around trying to find exactly how I'm going to put all this into words, I came across an article, a guy by the name of Joshua Becker, and he is a minimalist. He's one of these guys that is trying to live on the least amount that he can, the least of everything that he can do. But he's got some great things on generosity, and he had a thing that was called the 9 ways that generous people see the world differently. 9 was a bit much. I think we'd be here till about 2:30. So I picked 3 of them that kind of sat with me. And so I'm going to talk about the 3 ways that generous people see the world differently. And they're, number 1, they recognize that the resource pie is not finite. Number 2, they know that generosity leads to greater happiness. And number 3, they believe that changing even one life is worthwhile. First of all, they recognize that the resource pie is not finite. Quoting from Joshua Becker, in the mindset of competition, that my resources only grow when someone else's shrinks is based on a faulty premise. It assumes that there is a finite-sized pie and that if someone else enjoys success, my opportunity shrinks. But quite frankly, this thinking is incorrect. The pie of resources is not finite. It continues to grow as society benefits from others' success. I mean, for those of you that have kids and, you know, have more than one, you know, when you had your second, did the love that you have, was it finite? Did you take your love and cut it in half and give one to the first one and give the other half to the second one? No, your love is infinite, and our resources are just like that. In fact, love is one of our resources, and it is infinite, and we can share that and we can give that. Eric Butterworth, and I couldn't find the exact quote, this is as close as I can get to it, but he said, the whole of God is present at every point in space at every moment. The whole of God is present at every point in space at every moment. So if this thing, God, Spirit, whatever we choose to call it, is infinite in nature, and it is in all and of everything, that means that it's in you. It's in me, it's in all of us, and it is always there at every moment, and it is infinite, therefore we have an infinite capacity within us for beauty, for love, for truth. And it is our job to share those. Like the law of gravity, it doesn't get suspended just because we may be out of gravitational touch with our earth. The law of gravity is always there. And so too are those gifts that we have. On the Camino, Ann and I walked, and we came to a place, and there were very few beds left in this little town. And I don't know how many times we got the last two beds in a little village. But it happened over and over. But people, other pilgrims, fell into a trap of thinking that this resource was finite and that there were not going to be enough beds. And so they'd start dialing on their phones and making reservations further down the Camino in albergos and bed and breakfast and even in hotels. And it became for this rush. We'd get up and, you know, some mornings we got up early, you know, at 7, and we were, you know, walking well before 8. There were mornings we got up earlier than that, but that was to see the sunrise. But there were people that were getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and getting as many miles down the Camino as they could go with their little headlamps on and their, so that they could get in line to be waiting to get a bed at 1 o'clock when the albergos had opened at 1. We never fell into that trap, and it wasn't because we were some elevated, enlightened beings. It's just that we just had a confidence and a knowing within us that the Camino would provide. And it provided in some of the most incredible ways. One that comes to mind, we arrived at a little village and no beds. We kind of went to, there was only one, I think, bed and breakfast, and it was full. And there was a hotel, and we went to the hotel, and the lady at the desk says, no completo. This isn't looking too good. And so we're contemplating, you know, we did have an emergency shelter. We could zip our ponchos together and put them over us to make a little makeshift tent. And I imagine we could have got in a doorway of a church or something somewhere and bagged out for a few hours. So we were contemplating that when the lady said, well, there is one room. Now, my Spanish is not really good, but I did pick up one word in there. Wish I'd had Jacqueline. Matrimone. Not too sure on that. It was the honeymoon suite. They only had one room left. It was the honeymoon suite. And she says, I don't think we're going to get any newlyweds in here tonight. It's pretty late. She says, so I'll give it to you for the regular rate. So we ended up in the honeymoon suite. But it's that belief that our resources are finite that holds us back. And the really important ones can never run out. It's the love, the beauty. Those are the things that we can never exhaust, and they are part of us, and it is our job to spread those. Point number 2, the second way that generous people see the world differently. They know that generosity leads to greater happiness. Once again, going back to Josh Becker, studies confirm what generous people already know. Giving increases happiness, fulfillment, and purpose in the life of the giver. We are not designed to be creatures of selfishness. Instead, we are designed to seek and to discover happiness in loving and caring for others. And those who decide to look for fulfillment there quickly discover it. I was a deputy in the Lake County, Ohio Sheriff's Department. His name was Zach Ropos, and he was on his beat one day, and he saw a little girl, and he thought she was about 8 or 9. She had a little lemonade stand up, and he stopped and got some lemonade. And because he was really one of those policemen that are in touch with his the area that he was in and whatnot, he came to find out that this little girl was selling lemonade so that she could buy a tablet for school or fourth grade class. And he thought about that, and he thought, this little girl is out there trying to hustle and sell lemonade to raise enough money to buy a tablet. And he turned and he went down to Best Buy, and he walked in and he bought the tablet, and he came back and he asked for a glass of lemonade, and he paid for it with the tablet. He was asked about it later, why he did that. And he said, because the smile on that little girl's face was a $1 million smile. It was far more than the cost of that tablet. Zach Ropos, Sheriff's deputy in Lake County, Ohio. I've told this other SNCC story before, but it really fits this situation well. I mean, it's the farmer that every year at the county fair, he won first place for his corn. He was known for having the best corn in the entire county. And he was interviewed afterwards, and they asked him, and he said, I really don't have any tricks. I don't have anything. He said, about the only thing that I do is every year I give my seed corn to all my neighbors. And he said, what? Yeah, I give my seed corn. How can you keep winning if you're giving your best seed corn to the very people that are competing against you for this prize? And he said, oh, don't you know that when the corn grows and the pollen is spread, the winds swirl it around, and it comes from farm to farm to farm. If my neighbors have inferior corn, it's going to be degrading my corn. I get better corn by having my neighbors having the best corn that they can have. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is giving our neighbors our best seed corn, because it comes back to us. And that is exactly what we're doing with this community service project with FISH. FISH is a really interesting organization. It's primarily Christian. Their donors are largely Christian. They provide food to the people who fall in the crack. There is a time difference between the time you can apply for food assistance and the time you actually start receiving it. And sometimes that can be as long as a couple of weeks. Well, if you're up against it and you don't have anything to eat, that's where FISH steps in. FISH is there to help you and bridge that gap in that time frame. And if you could see the faces on the ladies from FISH, we did it just a year ago, and they showed up. They looked in the back of our sanctuary and their eyes got that big around. There was enough mac and cheese in there to help people. There was canned fruit. And so I thought, why not do the same thing again? Because it was so, so appreciated. And we got such a nice letter from them. And the good that it does. So we can be generous as well. And that's what we're doing as a spiritual community. And I hope that you can join us in that. So anytime you're ready, you can bring it next Sunday. You can bring it during the week. We'll have a box back there. But on the 10th of September, we're all going to get together. And we're going to go and we're going to deliver the food down to fish. Okay, point number three. The third way that generous people see the world differently. Once again, I go to Josh Becker. Generous people are quick to admit that the world's problems are never going to be solved by one person, and perhaps never completely solved, even in the future. But perfection does not slow them. To them, changing even one life within their sphere of influence is reward enough, and it is a worthwhile endeavor to be sought. Generous people believe that changing even one life is worthwhile. Story of a man was walking down the beach, and he saw in the distance, he saw somebody, you know, picking things up and throwing it into the ocean. And he wondered, what is that guy doing? And he continued, and this guy's picking it up and throwing it into the ocean. As he got closer, he saw that it was a young man, and he was picking up little starfish, and he was picking them up from the sand on the outside, and he was throwing them back into the tidal area where the waves were coming in. And he stopped, and he says, young man, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm throwing these starfish back into the water. Well, why are you doing that? Because the sun is coming up, the tide is going out, and the starfish will essentially cook and die. And so I'm putting them back into the water so that they can live. And the man said, but there are miles and miles and miles and miles of beach along here, and they're filled with these starships, these little starfish. Can you possibly be doing any good? You know, are you really making a difference? And with that, the young man bent down, he picked up one more, and he threw it, and he said, made a difference to that one. You see, he's one of those generous people that understand that making the difference to even one is worthwhile. I'm also reminded of the story of three elderly sisters that lived together. They were aged 96, 94, and 93. And the oldest one, the 96-year-old, was upstairs, and she had run her bath water, and she was getting ready to get in, and she got in, she had one foot in, one foot out, and she called downstairs to her sisters, and she said, I'm up here, and I have one foot in the tub and one foot out, and I can't remember whether I'm getting in or getting out. Well, her 94-year-old sister said, okay, you're getting worse. I'll come up there and help you. So she started upstairs, and she got about halfway up the stairs, and she said, I'm going upstairs, and I don't remember why. Well, with that, her younger sister, the 93-year-old, said, oh, my sister's in their memory. It's getting worse. Thank God I don't have that issue. Knock on wood. Okay, girls, I'll be up to help both of you as soon as I answer the door. You see, they were all generous with one another. They were all helping each other out. Even one little thing is worthwhile. We finished the Olympics. And, you know, everybody knows, you know, the United States got the most medals and the most golds and the most silvers and everything else. And a lot of national pride. But I think what we missed here, I know we missed, is we got another award. And it didn't show up in the gold medal count. It showed up in an area that was far, far more important than the gold medal count. One of our athletes this year received the Pierre de Chaubertin Award. There have only been 17 of these awarded ever in the Olympic history until this year. And it is given to athletes who demonstrate the Olympic spirit and sportsmanship to such a high level and it is only given, you know, on special occasions. It's not awarded every year. Like I say, it's only been awarded 17 times in the history of the Olympics until this year. And as what happened is there was an American runner, Abby D'Agostino was her name, in the women's 5,000 meter race, which 5,000 meters is 3.2 miles. And Nikki Hamblin from New Zealand, their legs got tangled as they were in the mob of runners going, and they both fell to the ground. And the other runners, you know, streaked on, and in a race that's decided by, you know, seconds or parts of seconds, you know, falling down and falling that far behind would automatically eliminate you from any contention. And they were both on the ground, and Abby, the American girl, D'Agostino, got up, and the Zealand girl, Nikki, and I saw the video of it, was just kind of curled up almost in a fetal position, and Abby came up and helped her up and got her to her feet. And as Nikki stood, Abby then fell. Her knee was hurt so badly she couldn't even put any weight on it at all, and she fell to the ground. At which point Nikki then turned around and helped Abby up, and the two of them continued on in this race. They finished. The Olympic Committee decided that because of this accident that they could both go on. This was a qualifying heat, that they could both go on then to the medal round. Abby couldn't. Abby had to be in a wheelchair. She finished her heat. But she had to go to a wheelchair, and she couldn't finish from there on. Nikki could run, but it was with a severe limp. And she went ahead and entered that finals and ran. She came in last. But guess who was there cheering her on? Abby. That is the type of generosity that I'm talking about. That is giving the love. That's what we are as people. That's what we are to do. This last Thursday, our leadership council came together. And I want to talk about the leadership council for a little minute, because this is a group of people, not up here. This is a group of congregants. They're just like you and me and everybody else. The difference is that they have stepped forward in service. They have stepped forward with a generous sharing of their time and their talents to help guide our center as it moves through the coming times. All of these people gave up a day. Most of them had to take a day of vacation. I think one guy had a bad cold that day. But they all gave up a day so that we could come together to work, to learn to be a better team, to be of service to each and every one of you. As we talked about our experiences and how we got into the science of mind, the one common theme that everybody shared is that this teaching has touched them in a deep, deep way. And the reason that they are giving, the reason that they have agreed to serve on a council like this and agreed to do these kinds of things, is because of their desire to give back. And I want to take a moment to recognize the members of our leadership team. And Sandra Moeller is our president. Kaleem Nuruddin is in with our youth today. He is our vice president. Ann Lazenby, I know she's here. Oh, she's back in the back greeting. Is our secretary. Reverend Lynn is our treasurer. And our at-large members, Bob Corpin's back there on sound. And Jean Alden, I know she's here. There she is. And Jean Alden. And And where's Cindy Hensley? There he is, our last at-large member. If you have comments, if you have concerns, if you have things, these are the people to talk to. If you don't like the minister, that's the person to talk to at these in here. You don't like the way I part my hair or shave or not shave. I don't think it's going to last long. But these are people that have stepped forward, and this is an example. And this is just one more way. And you know that I really believe that we can study, we can go to classes, we can do all of these other things, but it doesn't make any difference until we apply it in our lives. That's why I think Foundations is such a powerful, powerful class, as we can take abstract concepts and then we actually do them. Every week we get to get up and do them. And this is an example of people that are out doing it, and they're out being generous with their talents. Conclusion, my last story. It was 1980, and there was a great deal of rain in the Middle East. You know, the Middle East, the area that Jesus walked, is an extremely arid area. I mean, there aren't a bunch of old palm trees and everything. I mean, it is desert. It is dry. And that year, there was a tremendous amount of rain. And there was enough rain that the salt content in the Dead Sea was actually changed. The Dead Sea is the saltiest body of water on the planet, and it actually became a little less salty because of the rain that they'd had in the area. Now, it wasn't very much. It was a very slight change, but it was enough of a change that it allowed an algae bloom that no one had ever seen before. It was a red algae bloom that no one had ever seen. And it was because of a very slight change in the saline content of the Dead Sea. And what this story means is that sometimes it doesn't take a huge change to make a difference in your life and to make a difference in the lives of other people. Sometimes it can be a very, very slight change, and it can have a massive effect. And I'll close with a line from the prayer of St. Francis. It is in the giving that we receive. And so it is with this awareness of our giving nature, an awareness of the abundance that we live with in the world, that we step into prayer. And I ask my colleagues, the practitioners and fellow ministers, to join me in holding that consciousness, holding a consciousness of abundance for all of those who are living in the very, very real world of effect, of lack and limitation. We simply know that we live in an abundant world, and that the more that we give, the more we receive in return. I also speak my word for those who are facing challenges of health, knowing full well that these challenges, that this condition is only temporary, that the truth is that we are all made perfect in the image and likeness of God. And it is that perfection that I call forth now for anyone facing a challenge of health. I also speak my word now for those who are facing relationship challenges of any type, whether it be relationships at work, family relationships, romantic relationships. It makes no difference, because it is all love. It is all God. And as divine distributors of that love, as divine distributors of that passion that is God, we know that we live in an infinite world of love, and that love absolutely prevails. And we can rest assured that any appearance of conflict is indeed temporary, and it is superseded by love. And so we just give thanks now. We give thanks for the abundant world in which we live. We give thanks for that blueprint of perfection that is at the center of our being. And we give thanks for the love that is within our hearts, within our lives. And now, knowing that the words that I have just spoken are God's own truth, I release these words to the working of a law that must respond. Just like that law of gravity, that law always responds. And I release these words and I let them be, and so it is. God is